Morning, First Baptist Roswell. Okay, this time we're going to try again. Because look, it's dreary outside, but it's light in here. Okay, ready? Compose, compose. Good morning, First Baptist Roswell. There we go. I am so glad each and every one of y'all are with us today. I am just glad to be here, and I hope y'all are glad to be here as well. For any first-time guests with us this morning, if you look in the pew in front of you, there's going to be a Connect card. If you pull that out, fill it out, and drop it in the offering plate when it comes through later in the service, we would love that so we can stay connected. Get it? Connect card, stay connected. It all works out. It's beautiful. Thank you. I'm trying here, y'all. I'm trying. It's so dark outside. Like, I'm trying. So now it's your turn to help me. If you flip open your bulletin and look at the lovely announcement sheet, we have a ton of things going on in the life of this congregation. But I want to talk about a few in particular. The first and most important for today is that beyond our walls, the registration is closing tonight. This is for Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. So if you want to be a part of that, and we need you to be a part of that, please go on and register today so that we can have you in the roster ready to go for Saturday. And then if you've already registered or you're going to register, be on the lookout midweek-ish for some more info on logistics and what Saturday's gonna look like in particular for you. And then, also looking ahead to this week, Wednesday, we need everyone there on Wednesday. Wednesday night is going to be our last Wednesday night dinner until September. So that means children's missions, youth activities, and adult classes are going to take a brief hiatus so we can all go and be fantastic missionaries in the field of the world for the summer, also known as vacation. So go and do that, but come back in September. So be with us to finish off this year and come back in September to kick it off next year with us. And then also this next week, next Sunday in particular, 6:45, right here in the sanctuary, we are going to have our next church conference. And then immediately after the church conference is going to be the church council meeting that's going to be meeting in the chancel choir rehearsal room. In this meeting, also, we are going to get an update from the pastor search committee, and all of those discussions are going to be had there. So be there to get all that info and be a part of that fun event that's happening in the life of our church as well. And then at your leisure, not during the service while we're worshiping, but at your leisure, go back and look at all the other fun things happening throughout the next coming weeks and months in this congregation. But right now, I invite you to turn your hearts and your minds and your spirits to worship with us. So come, let us all worship God together this morning.
Please stand with me as we read together our call to worship. Beloved, we are called to love one another because love is from God.
God's love is poured in us from our birth.
We are called to extend the love of God to all people.
God's love is taught to us through the witness of God's faithful people.
We are called to proclaim God's love in all that we say and do.
In all creation,
Easter people, God is risen, love has won.
For God so loved, let us love.
Jesus shall reign forever, Son, God is exalted to reign. Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad to see you guys this morning. Raise your hand if you can reach things on the highest shelf. Can anybody reach those things? Yeah? Okay, well, I can't reach those things, so a lot of times I have to ask for help. And I got to thinking about how tall things are, because I am 5'1". Most of you will probably be taller than me when you grow up, and that's okay. So some of you are, well, most of you are already taller than me now. But I started thinking about the tallest things in our world. So there was a man named Robert Wadlow. He was born in 1918, so that was over 100 years ago. And he lived until 1940, but he was 8 feet 11 inches tall. So he was almost 9 feet tall when he died. Do you know anybody that's 9 feet tall? I don't know anybody that's 9 feet tall. That is very tall. That is a giant. That's exactly right. So I was also looking to see what the tallest building in the world is, and that is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. Some of these people out here have actually been there. So this building is 2,717 feet tall, okay? So this giant of a man who was almost 9 feet tall could stand next to it, and he would be a dwarf compared to that building. Now, I looked because I know that most of you know how long a football field is. It is 360 feet long. So you would have to stand 7.5 football fields on top of each other end to end to make how tall that building is. It is very, very tall. It looks like it goes up into the heavens. And so when you go outside and you stare straight up at the sky, you can imagine this building looking like it would go up to the heavens. Now you may be wondering, why in the world am I talking about all these very tall things? It's because the Bible reminds us that no matter how tall things are, God's love reaches higher than any of those things. In the book of Psalms, it says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the skies." So when you looked up to that eclipse a few weeks ago, and you saw how far up there the sun and the moon were, God's love stretches even further than that. God's love is bigger than anything else in this world. And the amazing thing is that God loves us. God loves us when we do good things, and God loves us when we do wrong things. God loves us when we're happy and when we're sad and when we're mad. God loves us when good things are happening in our lives and when it seems like everything is going wrong. God promises to love us no matter what. And God's love is bigger and stronger than anything else in this world. So the next time you drive through downtown Atlanta and you see all those skyscrapers, just think that God's love is bigger than any of those buildings. It stretches all the way to the heavens. And that is wonderful news. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for your love that is so much bigger than anything else in this world. Thank you for always loving us, even when we don't deserve it. Help us to share your great love with others. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is found in Psalms 36, verses 5 through 9. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love. O God, please take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
That is our prayer this morning, that God's love would abide in us and we would abide in him. Would you pray with me now? Holy God of life and love, we come to you now as our great example who shows us how to love, and also as our constant companion who loves us dearly. God, when we cannot see beyond the everyday and the mundane, when our future looks bleak, in those moments when we find ourselves paralyzed by situations that are life-depleting, you remind us of your future for our lives, a future with hope, a future with abundant life. When we feel lonely, when our interactions with others produce pain, when we find ourselves at our most unlovable, you remind us, God, that we are your children, and we are the recipients of your unconditional and eternal love. And so, God, with that in mind, we say to you collectively today that we long to be people of love, people who are known by our love of you and by our love of our neighbor. We pray for Beyond Our Walls this coming Saturday, that in the biggest and the smallest of ways, we can be conduits of your love, demonstrating it to our community and to those in the greater areas into which we will serve. We pray for faithful conversations to be had. We pray for hard-working hands and hearts and minds. We pray that through us, the people of Roswell and beyond would know just a little bit more of your love. And God, may it not be just a one-day event, but may it serve as a reminder for each and every one of us to be people of your love every day in our lives. For if you have laid down your life for us, how can we not do the same for others? God, as those who seek to be faithful ambassadors of your kingdom and your purposes and your ambitions and your love for the entire world, we offer these our prayers in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Father, we come before you today with humble and grateful hearts for all that you have provided for us. I pray, dear Lord, for all of these different ministry opportunities that we have, that we heard about this morning, and that we see in our bulletin. And I pray, dear Lord, that as you have been generous with us, that we would be just as generous with you as we return the offerings that you have requested from us. I pray that you'll go with us each and every day, that we would serve you in all that we do. And just in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, students. Good words for this day today to inspire us and lift us up. We thank you very much. I'm glad you're here. There's something about being together that kind of lifts us all up on a day like today, and Josh was doing his very best to lift us up, and I appreciate that. I've had a good weekend. I want to preface what I'm about to say. I've had a great weekend. Mercy University had its trustee meetings for Thursday through yesterday, and much of the event centered at St. Regis Hotel. I don't know if y'all ever been there. That place is nice. That is pretty. It's a pretty sweet place to be. But in spite of all of the fun and good of my weekend and my enjoyment with that, there's just some things that happen over and over again. So, for example, getting out of the truck in the parking deck, my coat or something caught my iPad, and it did one of those tumbles and flips and face plants right there on the deck, shatters it. I mean, it's not just a crack, it's a shatter, and I'm shaking my head going, oh my goodness. And then on the drive home, I took a rock to the windshield, and it wasn't one of those little chip in the windshield. It just immediately cracked right there through the line of vision. Now, that's good. My life is starting to feel like a George Jones country song. I'm not really sure where to go with that. But it's true for all of us, right? We have things that happen to us, and those things happening to me are, at the end of the day, very, very superficial. Maybe you have come in this morning and you're bringing the cracks and the shatterings that life can sometimes bring to your soul and to your spirit. And what you need most of all is just to be surrounded by reminders that you are loved no matter what. You've come to the right place. Let's hear together our New Testament reading found in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you do have your Bibles after the reading, to keep your Bibles open, or if you're using an iPad or a phone, feel free to keep that open too. I'm going to make some references back and forth on this text in very deliberate fashion. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. Thanks be to God for the reading and hearing of this His Holy Scripture. Let us pray. As we open the doors of the house and find shelter from the storm, so we now open our lives before You, O God, that we might shelter our spirit in You, firmly, truly in You. Now open our minds and our hearts and our lives, that we may receive Your fullness of Your Spirit's outpouring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Theology. What a heavy word that is. Theology, it literally means words about God. But theology itself, it sounds something like a bespectacled, bearded, washed-out preacher pretending to be an academic, something that that person might say. Theology, so much of it is obtuse, incomprehensible, unnecessarily esoteric. It's almost as if in order to talk about God, we have to hide our words from God. What if I told you in this morning's sermon all you needed to know about a theology that matters? What if I told you that in this one simple message, you will have all you need to know, and you don't need to go out and buy shelves of books or confusing language or terms in order to memorize? A theology that doesn't require multiple syllable words or a dictionary or a ginormous study Bible. You will not be questioned about your views of transubstantiation or about the hypostatic union and its orthodoxy, or supralapsarianism and its relationship to predestination, or apophatic theology as an ineffable approach to understanding God through the via negativa. If you want to know the answer behind some of these terms, Logan will be happy to chat with you on your way out the door. A theology that matters, a theology that really matters, can be summed up in the simple verses read in our scripture this morning. Beginning with, beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. So I want to begin this talk, this lecture, this sermon with the first affirmation that God is love. You see how it begins, right, in your Bibles, verse 7. Love is from God. And then it goes on to remind us not once, but twice that God is love. Now, I told you that this is simple theology. In fact, you may not want me to come back because you may be wanting something far more complicated. It's a simple theology, and yet we so often are confused by it and make it unnecessarily complicated. For many, I think it may be easier to imagine that God is judgmental, that God is a punisher, that God is not fair, that God is difficult, that God is wrathful. To imagine that God is love for some of us may feel like a bit of a stretch. But it's right there in black and white in Helvetica type. I didn't make this up. Before we can do anything else with love, we must acknowledge the origins of love itself. Otherwise, love is just simply a sentimental feeling or an altruistic action. God is love. The next affirmation I'd like to make for our theology that matters is that God loves you. Now, I know we've reduced that to a bit of a cliche. When I was a college student, it was popular to have these bumper stickers that said something like, "Smile, God loves you," you know. It's kind of interesting, the people that had these bumper stickers drove like maybe a different kind of theology may be at work. God loves you. And I think one of the reasons we reduce that phrase, "God is love," to a cliche is that we often add conditions to God's love. God loves you, but he hates what you are doing. God loves you, but only when you do his will. God loves you, but you better get sanctified or French fried. We so often put conditions on God's love. I've studied the scripture too. And what I understand about the scripture and its original languages is that God's love comes without conditions, which is a pretty awesome thing if you ask me. The late Brennan Manning, a priest, a recovering alcoholic, and a prolific writer and a proclaimer of God's love, particularly in his wonderful book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, alongside his other book, Abba's Child, and there were many others. But he put it this way in a sermon I once heard him preach: God loves you just as you are and not as you should be, because no one can ever be as they should be. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? God loves you just as you are and not as you should be, because no one can ever be as they should be. Look with me at verse 9. God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his son into the world. Ah, we've heard this before, right? The most well-known passage of Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That kind of love, you see, is not partial. It's not qualified. It's not piecemeal. This kind of love is not half-measured. It's all the way. God's love is unconditional, unfathomable, inexplicable, encompassing, pursuing, limitless, cosmic, enduring, and holy. And if we struggle to believe that God really does love us, then it will manifest in all types of distortions of our common sacred identity. Life becomes defined by other categories: fear and remorse and anxiety and shame and self-condemnation, bitterness, anger, judgment, sadness. And what a waste that is, because none of that is necessary. God is love, and God loves you. The third affirmation I want to make with this is not only that God is love and God loves you, but that God loves all of you. It's a cosmic kind of far-reaching love. Consider verse 10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, here's a word of theology. I'll grant you it's a biblical word, atoning sacrifice. I know it's a mouthful, but in simple terms, it simply means that with Jesus, we are made one with God. That sins that we have in our lives, and we all have them, they, however great they may be, they don't outweigh God's love for you and I and this world. God loves you in such a way that God would rather die than to be without you. Paul the Apostle writes about this in his wonderful letter to the church of Philippi. Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, to hang on to, but emptied himself, gave himself up literally, completely. God loves you, and not just you, but all of you. And it's a tremendous love that God has for this world. Do you know what that means? And this may get me in a little trouble. It means that God loves the Presbyterians across the street. God loves the Methodists just up Mimosa. God loves the Catholics worshiping nearby. God loves the Jews celebrating Passover tomorrow night. God loves the Muslims worldwide. God loves the gays and the straight and the sin-soaked drunk and the one who thinks they have it all together and the one that's not sure they can ever put it together. And if you think this is radical, that's because it is. And if you think this is dangerous, that's because it is. It got Jesus killed for it. God loves, God is love, and God loves you. And God loves all of you. And finally, I want to say, for a theology that matters, that God wants you to love too. In verse 11, we read, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, so also you should love one another." Now, I'm not a big Broadway fan. You don't hear me talking much about show tunes, but I am going to a musical this June. It's one we have seen before. I'm taking my oldest son and his girlfriend, Jordan, and Amy and I. We're going to go see Les Mis. I don't know if you've seen Les Mis. If you're not a Broadway fan, go and see Les Mis. It'll make you one. It's a beautiful musical based on the novel by Victor Hugo. And there's this climactic scene towards the end where the dying Jean Valjean, he sings to Fantine and Eponine the following elegant words that I love so much. He sings out, to love another person is to see the face of God. To love another person is to see the face of God. It requires us to really look at others in such a way that God just might show up in that encounter. When you see as God sees you, you begin to see how God is present even in the most profane of situations, that God is there. Let me remind you how this passage ends. No one has ever seen God. All right, that's simple theology too. We know that no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us according to the scripture, and his love is perfected in us. The only way to see God is to love as God loves. When we know we are loved by God, to love becomes the central work of what we do. It's why we'll show up on a Saturday morning next week and say, "I want to do something, anything, just let me live out my faith in tangible ways." To literally experience God with us by what we are doing and how we are relating and whom we are encountering. When they see love, they see God. That's why I call this a theology that matters. Love changes your vision. If you need a theologian, I can think of no better than Bruner, who writes about I to thou. What if we made an intentional decision to change how we see others? Notice I didn't ask you to change your opinion. Chances are most of us have pretty good opinions For those of you that are social media active, I don't know why you post things politically. Do you think all of a sudden we're just going to change how we vote because of your meme or your opinion or your strident argument? No, no. It's not about changing opinion. It's about seeing where another is coming from. See, grasping it from their perspective. My first year at Mercer University, I was looking out my office window, and the School of Theology is across the sidewalk from the building with the students for the physical therapist. They're working on there. I think it's called it's a doctorate in physical therapy. On one particular morning, my first semester there, I see all these 20-something kids, and I'm sorry for those of y'all that are in your 20s, but you are kids. I mean, no offense. It's okay. One day you won't be a kid. It doesn't feel so good. But these 20-something kids are out there, and I saw some with walkers making their way across, you know. Others were in wheelchairs, and some had crutches, and others had canes. And I thought, what happened to the physical therapists there? They're all in shambles. They're falling apart. And of course, y'all can probably figure that out. I see this now every single semester. You know, in order to do their work and caring for others, and some of you are physical therapists, some of you have been in physical therapy, but a good physical therapist needs to at least know, well, what does it feel like to be in a wheelchair? What does it feel like to make your way with a walker into the restroom? What does it feel like to need assistance navigating steps? It's to empathize. You get all of that. But I think as churches, we would do well to maybe spend some time instructing how do we learn to see others in their life experiences, what it must be like to go through life wearing their socioeconomic lenses or racial lenses or gender lenses or, well, however else you want to put this in. To love as God loves means to meet people where they are, not insist that they come to where we are. That's exactly what God did in Bethlehem. We celebrated this during Advent, that suddenly in this small little village, God shows up in their midst. That's exactly what God did in Jerusalem. When people were shouting, "Crucify him," God showed up in the most profane of encounters. While some debate heady theological subjects or argue denominational differences or assert political domination, God is showing up across the street and across the aisle and across the tracks and being manifest in love, because God is love and God loves you and God loves all of you and God wants you to love too. I told you, it's simple. But I believe this with all my heart and my calling and convictions, that it is a theology that really does matter. A friend of mine from college days, his name is Dale Hall. He's an Anglican priest of the Franciscan order. I don't know where Dale went off on that one. We were raised Baptists, but anyway. Now, if Dale were to show up in church today, you turn your heads just to get a sideways glance at Dale. Dale is a woolly John the Baptist type, scraggly beard, heavily tattooed right up to his neckline. In fact, on one of his hands, he's got the letters of love spelled out, L-O-V-E. You would assume he'd done prison time or something like that. He's rough looking. Dale doesn't go to church much. I don't mean that he's against church, but Dale serves the streets of Chattanooga. In fact, on a day like today, when most of us are looking for warm, comfortable shelter, Dale is probably working a food line somewhere, handing out sandwiches, or Dale may be passing out bottles of cold water to people who are just searching for something to quench their thirst. As often as much, you might find Dale with his clerical collar on serving communion right alongside the park, because for Dale, he takes pretty serious this love of God, and for him, it is a way of turning the church inside out, motivated by this whole radical notion that God is love. God loves you. God loves all of you. And God wants you to love too. If you disagree with all of this, I don't want to say that's fine, but we may not have much to talk about theologically speaking. I'm glad to debate the Trinity with you. I can actually talk to you about supralapsarianism. And if it means something to you, the hypostatic union is important to me too. But I can get all of that stuff right and still fail. Right now I'm working on love. And I'm counting on you to work on that with me too. And who knows where God will take us because of it. Let us pray. Coming together, O Lord, professing your love now, O God, we ask for strength that we may practice it. Beginning with ourselves, O Lord, for some of us it is most difficult just to simply love ourselves. But God, with this sacred love, help us also to love one another right here in this room, and then through that love to take it on a global scale, one life at a time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How is God's love motivating you this morning? Maybe God is leading you to come down this aisle, and because of love, you want to affiliate yourself with this church. You've been a guest here and visiting with us, but you know that this is your community of faith. You may not understand all the distinctions of what it means to be a Baptist or what it means to be a member of First Baptist Church, and that's okay. It's enough to just simply receive you in God's name and in God's love. So please come down that aisle as we sing our hymn of invitation, and we will receive you gratefully. Maybe the love of God, though, is calling you to reconcile things with someone in this room or someone in this church, and you're realizing that to profess that God loves you is more than just words, it's action. If God is moving you, then the response this morning is not simply to pray about it, but go and do something about it. Or maybe the love of God is truly sending you out there. You've got a colleague or a co-worker, or you'll have an encounter with a complete stranger that you find is thoroughly unlovable. I hope you think about this sermon and find a way to love that person as God would love. However God is speaking in our lives, let's stand together. Let's sing together our hymn of response 567 as we proclaim God's love through music.
Thank you.
My home pastor would often remind the church, I can remember as a teenager, by reminding us how important it is to not let this day go by without sharing with someone that you love them. You know, I've shared a bit about my father from time to time, 10 years or so in a dementia journey where so much of what he remembers is quickly forgotten. But my father to this day is so quick, every time I see him or speak with him on the phone to say, I love you. And I know that that's coming not as a habit. It's coming because it's something that he has meant and practiced through the years. You see, there are some things that even memory can't take away from you. It's deep within who we are in our common humanity. So make sure, brothers and sisters in Christ, that the sun not go down today without you sharing with someone that they are loved. Who knows? Their very life may be hanging in the balance because of your words. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. And now we go in the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, and in his love. Amen.